is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie in green pastures. He leads me by the stream. Restores my soul. Restores my soul. Guides me down the paths of righteousness. And it is all for his name's sake. And yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy rod and staff will surely comfort me. He prepares for me a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anointeth my head with oil, and my cup it overflows. Now surely goodness and mercy will follow all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of my Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our gathered time together through technology. Thank you to Harrison and Ian and Evan and Emma, along with Janny Jenkins, for their music this morning, which was recorded right down the road from us in the tulip fields. What a beautiful prelude for us to enjoy this morning, and also to focus on Psalm 23, encouraging and comforting words that we can hear of our God Shepherd caring for us. I want to welcome those of you by telephone or visitors that are joining us today. It's good to see everyone. It's been about a little over a month since we were able to meet in our church building. And I'm just appreciative that this is a way that we can stay connected to each other, to encourage one another during this interesting time that we're in. I want to begin with words that Bill shared with us this week on Thursday of his devotional from Psalm 92, verses 1 through 5. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Would you pray with me? God, this morning we call upon your name and we thank you for your sustaining love and faithfulness that has been shown in so many ways this past week. Thank you that we can be your church right here where we are, and not just in a building on Sunday morning. We look to you as our strength. We look to you to be our joy. Thank you for technology that helps us to see each other. We ask that your presence would guide us today as we worship you, because we know that in you we live and move and have our being. God, bless our time together that we may be encouraged and renewed and able then to, in our places of shelter, be a blessing to others. Amen.
For everyone who can't see my screen, this morning's songs were selected by Harrison, and the first song will be number 580, My Life Flows On.
One, two.
My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I catch the sweet, all far off hymn that hails a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear that music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? What though my joys and comforts die, the Lord my Savior liveth. All things are darkness gather round, songs in the night he giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine since I am his. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?
And our next song is, it's still in the blue hymnal, it's number 412, We Shall Walk Through the Valley.
One, we
shall walk through the valley of the shadow.
there will be no sorrowing there. There will be no sorrowing there. And if Jesus himself
Quartet. I just appreciate these guys that are home from college and they're hanging out in isolation, and we get to enjoy their song leading. Thank you again, Harrison, Ian, Evan, and Emma. We will move to our children's story with Gina.
Hi, guys. Just one second here and I'll get it going. We have a story today called Finding Joy. So let me share my screen with you. Sharing, there we go. Okay. Finding Joy. No, but she's not hiding behind the bucket. She likes to hide behind the bucket, and she isn't over there either. Where is Joy? Is she in this tree? I can't see her there. You see her there? She's not in the window. Likes the window. She's not there. How about under the bed? Is Joy under the bed? Joy's not under the bed either. Oh, Abby found Chuckles. But where is Joy? I don't know where Joy is. No. No Joy here in the closet. No. Or in this corner of the closet. She's not in there either. Not in that spot in the closet. Where is our Joy? Here she is. She's hiding in her tunnel. Oh my goodness, Joy. Oh, you're so cute. Hiding in your tunnel. Now she can get some nice pets and snuggles on my lap. That feels so nice. It feels nice to Joy, and it feels very nice for me. Yeah, it feels very nice inside of me when I have my Joy snuggled on my lap like that and give her the nice pets. Yeah, she likes the nice pets on her face. And it makes me feel good inside. Yeah, I can sit there and I can work on my laptop and I can have my Joy right there on my lap. Yeah, getting some nice snuggles. Oh, that feels good. Do you have Joy at your house? Do you? Or maybe somebody like Joy at your house that makes you feel good? Yeah, makes you feel good inside. Might not be a kitty. Might be something else that makes you feel good inside. Yeah. We can ask God to send us Joy. Yeah, God can give us that good feeling inside, just like if we were holding Joy and snuggling with her and giving her pets. So let's pray and do that right now. Dear God, please help us to find joy, to find that feeling inside of us that makes us feel so good and so close to you. Because things can be really hard right now, and we can feel kind of empty and funny inside. But we know that you can bring us joy. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week, and be sure to hang on to your joy. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gina. As you remember, our theme for the next 8 weeks is called A Joy Perspective. And Bill, I forgot to read our theme verses, but I'll just let you incorporate that into your message this morning. Thank you.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Good to have you here with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. We are in this series on the book of Philippians. We're looking at the whole book, but we're focusing in particularly as we think about the theme for what our focus is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. That's where we're really continuing to look at to see what it is that this letter might have for us today. Capture Philippians chapter 2, it's about attitude. And so this is about imitating Christ and all that we do in our lives. Therefore, verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. So there's some real challenge in verses 1 to 4. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have the sermon out of this text. But the thing that I keep coming back to as I read these verses is Paul lays out a task before us to really consider others above ourselves. And what an opportunity we have, especially if you're, parents perhaps of young children, or we're put together as families. And sometimes, I don't know how it works in your family, but in some families, family members can tend to irritate one another and not want to put others above themselves. And Paul says then, just to remind us in Philippians chapter 2, when we don't feel like looking to the interests of others, he says, verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then that description of Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that's where our theme is, where we're continuing to focus on. And we have these packages. I'll hold them up again. Grace, because Paul starts this letter by saying grace and peace. So I have both of these packages again today, grace and peace, just to remind us that in the midst of trying to encourage one another, in the midst of trying to look to the other's interests and not just our own, to hold these two packages together, both grace and peace, as we walk through life together, but particularly as we're walking through this time where we find ourselves somewhat limited in our social interactions as we're doing the best we can in all areas, especially as we think about what it means to be church and how we are doing this at Zion Mennonite Church. And I'm thankful for just the ability and capacity to do this and to connect with one another. One of the things that I find kind of neat about this is for those that are sharing their videos, we can kind of all see each other. And I know it's more than likely that you're kind of paging through all the different people as the sermon progresses, and that's great. It's just a great way to keep kind of seeing one another, interacting with one another. I would do that too, except I'm preaching and I probably would get lost in what I'm thinking about. So enjoy one another this morning as best we can. the scripture for this morning to really focus in on for the sermon is Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. So this is, again, to think about Paul writing to this church or that he had interaction with, but he's writing at a time where he's facing some personal challenges. He's distanced from people. He's in prison. He has a guard with him all the time, more than likely. So he's under this kind of this arrest and unable to visit and be with people. So it's out of that he's writing this letter. And this morning, we're going to look at problems and trying to have a joy perspective on problems. As Gina mentioned, sometimes it's hard to find joy in the midst of life and what's going on. So we want to look here, see what Paul has for us in regards to having this joy perspective on problems. There's a phrase that I remember and probably use from time to time. It's a question. It is, what is your problem? Now, the way you say that's very important. You can say it as, what is your problem? Or what is your problem? Or it might even be genuine and trying to figure out, you know, what is your problem? But all of us face challenges and problems in life. It's a part of life. And how we encounter them, how we approach them, how we deal with them will help us or hinder us in moving forward into being the kind of person that we want to be. Another question I thought about as I prepared this message this morning is, have you ever been in trouble? Be another way to look at it. Have you ever been in trouble? And what do we mean by trouble? Well, what do you mean by trouble is the key. What have you faced? What has been your challenges in life? All of us face times of trouble. One of the things I thought about, have you ever been in trouble? You know, I think back to my school days and getting in trouble because of, you know, things that would happen in class that I'd find myself, not that I was really a bad kid, don't get the wrong impression. I was a great student, but there were times that I visited the principal's office to have a little discussion about things I was doing or not doing. So there's that feeling of trouble. Maybe for some of us, that feeling of trouble when we, you know, pass a police officer on the road and we're like, well, how fast was I going? And we're kind of looking in the rearview mirror to see if we're in trouble. Problems along the way. Some of the problems are much more life-changing, whether it's health crisis, loss of loved ones. All of these things are part of life and can bring real challenge. As we look at this letter this morning, I want to read from chapter 1, starting at verse 12. Again, recognizing Paul facing some challenges, trouble, problems as he is writing this letter, and we're going to hear about some of them as he shares this. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through prayers, through your prayers, and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. So Paul's a man of action. He's what we see in the biblical text of Paul. He is on the go. He's a directing, achieving kind of personality, a type A person. He probably gets up early in the morning. Some of you can relate. Some of you can't. Probably has a list of things that he wants to get done for sure. And suddenly he finds himself stuck in prison. And that's a problem for him. And maybe some of you can relate. Currently, you know, we're kind of social distancing, physical distancing. We can't relate to the people in a way that we had hoped we'd be able to. Can't connect. People are having birthdays and we're missing birthday parties. Some people are, you know, weddings were scheduled, and how do we do weddings without being able to get together? So there's that kind of sense of, I wish it would be different, but it's not. And so Paul is more than likely carrying some of that with him as well. But somehow, in the midst of his discouragement, in the midst of these challenges, in the midst of these problems, he keeps a joy perspective. And how does he do that? How does having a joy perspective shape one's response to the problems that we encounter? What is this joy perspective? We touched on it last week a little bit. We're going to keep trying to understand it more and more as we go through the book of Philippians. But here's something that I tried to put together to help as I'm thinking about a joy perspective. It is the deep relationship with God through Jesus, so that God's Spirit is evident in the overflowing or the spilling out nature of our love for God and for others. Now, there's a lot in that sentence because I've been reading Paul. So, you know, Paul puts a lot in his sentences too. So I thought I could get away with that. A joy perspective, again, it's a deep relationship with God through Jesus, so that God's Spirit is evident in the overflowing or spilling out nature of our love for God and for others. And it's joy is something that it is emotions. There's emotions there, but it's not just emotions. It's not just about being happy. It's much more than that. It's not dependent upon emotions, because all of joy is present. All joy is present when we are happy, but all of joy is present when we're sad as well, when there's loss or regret or frustration. So joy is a part of all of that. Having this joy perspective helps us to see problems as opportunities by focusing on the goal, celebrating the small achievements that we see in our lives, not dependent on emotion necessarily, but celebrating these small achievements. And then as we are living the things before us, living as God calls us to live, that we don't get off track by the problems that do arise. So these three things I see here in chapter 1 in Philippians is we got to stay focused on the goal. We need to celebrate, and we need to stay on course. So let's see how Paul thinks about this, writes about this. Verse 12, he just really is, again, saying to his readers what it's all about. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And right there is Paul's goal, his purpose, his mission, his vision, however you want to say that. But what it's about for Paul is to advance the gospel, regardless of his circumstance, of the problems that he's facing. He's trying to stay aware of, reminded of that goal. Jesus was clear about his goal as he was on this earth in ministry. And there's many places in scripture where we can pick up and see Jesus proclaiming and stating that goal. He kept it before himself and before the disciples, before those he was with. In Mark 10, verse 45, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Clear about his goal. John 17, verse 1, Jesus said this as he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Again, Jesus recognizing, being clear about his goal. Knowing where one is headed, what one is about, is important. One of the things that I was challenged to do when I was in college was to come up with a philosophy of ministry. Now, that sounds pretty academic, doesn't it? A philosophy of ministry. But it's really about what is God calling you to do? And some of you think, well, philosophy of ministry isn't anything I ever have to worry about because I'll never be a minister. I'm not planning to be a pastor. But all of us are ministers. That's part of our understanding of what it means to be a Mennonite, our understanding of being a Christian. We all have this opportunity to connect with others, to share God's love, a philosophy of ministry. So in thinking about that, I'm not going to read this whole philosophy of ministry that I wrote in college. You might get, well, you'll be busy looking at other people if I read the whole thing. But I want to give you just a little taste of this because I do this as an illustration, but also as a way for you to get to know me a little bit better, but to think about the importance of goals. What is it that we're about? So in a philosophy of ministry that I wrote, and I still, again, trying to stay with this and stay on this, it's important. I say, by God's grace, I am working as a professional in the kingdom of God. I am building more where many others have already built. So I build carefully, for what I build must be based on Jesus Christ. Now that statement comes out of an understanding of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, where Paul again is writing this, and he says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. So in thinking about purpose, goals, where I'm headed, that's part of who I am. Trying to, again, by God's grace, work at the building up of the kingdom. Now, I also believe that the Bible is practical and applicable to everyday life and shows Jesus to those who read it. I think it's important to know and understand the world we live in so that I can make Jesus relevant to people today. So that's part of what I believe. That's part of my goal, is to recognize that these ancient words of Scripture contain practical, applicable things for us today. And again, some scriptures that I use to support that. There's a scripture, an Old Testament scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And this is a listing of David's mighty men in 1 Chronicles. But there's just a little section there, verse 32. He talks about the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And just that concept, that principle of the awareness of the society, the culture in which we live, and to know then, discern, what is it that the church is to do? And that's part of what I see as my calling, my goals, my vision, my purpose. And then also, as I build, I want to give others tools and skills so they may join the building of God's kingdom. I want to proclaim the truth of God plainly so many can hear and understand. And again, a couple scriptures that connect with me in around that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, again, Paul writing, verses 1 and 2, says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every person's conscience in the sight of God. And 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So again, trying to think about my philosophy of ministry. What are my goals? What has God given me a vision to do? And that's just kind of a snapshot of what I see God calling me to. Now, many of you don't know me real well, but hopefully you see some of that already working out as you get to know me and who I am. And just like we have potentially can have these personal goals, things God's calling us to do, to be, at Zion Mennonite Church, we also have a corporate goal or covenant. Many of you would remember this from your bulletins, what our church covenant is. Maybe ask for a show of hands how many people have this memorized, but I won't do that because I can't see all of you at once. But to think about, this is kind of the overall perspective, goal, vision for our church at Zion Mennonite. And I'll read it for us. Zion Mennonite Church covenants to grow together as Christ-centered community, as a Christ-centered community, extending our Anabaptist branch into our world, bearing the lasting fruit of discipleship, and planting the seeds for God's reign through hospitality, service, and reconciliation with God and others. Goals, where we're headed, what we're doing. Again, to think about having this joy perspective, Paul was clear about what he saw as the most important thing to advance the gospel, and that you and I need to keep working at what is it that we are being called to do? What is our focus? And both, I think, individually, but also corporately as churches, what are we to be about? Who are we based on these goals, knowing where we're going? So to have a joy perspective on our problems, first off, is to be clear about our goals. I see that here with Paul. He's clear about his goals. This is about advancing the gospel. The next thing I see in this letter is celebration. Verse 18, but what does it matter? Again, verses 15, 16, and 17, he's talking about some of those that are preaching Christ, proclaiming Christ, but have wrong motives or on pure motives. And he says, Paul says in verse 18, what does it matter? What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, Paul says, I rejoice. There's celebration there. And Paul doesn't get hung up on motives because he says it doesn't matter what the motives are. What we want to celebrate, what we want to rejoice about is the fact that this goal is being achieved, that the gospel is being advanced. And so this ongoing rejoicing, because of this, I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. And in the Greek there, it is, I will continue to rejoice, that Paul will keep on rejoicing. Because he knows, verse 19, that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. So again, there's that rejoicing that goes on because Paul sees the goals being accomplished. But in that rejoicing, he also recognizes the prayers of the people. People continue to pray for him, and then God's provision for him in the midst of some of the problems, challenges, things that he is facing. Celebration is an important key piece if we're going to keep moving forward in a joy perspective, particularly on our problems. To celebrate those things, those maybe small achievements that happen in our lives. You know, when Jesus healed people, you would often see those people celebrating and those around them celebrating, where he heals, the paralytic, and the paralytic jumps up and starts running around praising God. And others see that. And some begin also to praise God because, and that's a celebration. So when I use this word celebration, it's about recognizing our own happiness, perhaps, for what has been accomplished. But also in that rejoicing, there is a glorifying of the Lord. And Paul's doing that here. He's recognizing that God is providing, God's people are praying. And so in that is this celebration. What I don't think Paul is saying is that it doesn't matter what the means are as long as the end is fine. I don't see Paul saying that here. Paul's saying he recognizes some people are preaching Jesus out of a false motive. And he's going to say that doesn't matter. He's going to let go of that. And the motives of people, Paul seems to be letting God deal with that, with those people. He doesn't have to. But he's not saying that it doesn't matter how people treat one another. He's not saying that the ends justify the means. And I think we can look at the rest of Scripture as well to recognize that. You know, if there are people who proclaim Jesus Christ, but part of spreading the gospel from their viewpoint is, you know, to use means and matters that are abusive or manipulative, well, that's, Paul wouldn't say that's okay, because that's going against the command of Jesus to love one another. And so it's not about, well, we can just do church however we want, as long as Christ is proclaimed. And I would challenge that and say, no, if there are places where people are engaging themselves in destructive behavior, whether that's destructive behavior on their own person or on other people, that we need to challenge that as a church. We need to put restrictions on that kind of behavior and not allow people to get away with that. Well, what does that look like? How do we do that? That's a really good question. We're going to keep figuring that out together as a church. What does that look like? How do we do that? And who decides what's destructive behavior? You know, a sermon isn't supposed to answer all the questions. But at what I see, at what Paul is working at, is this recognition that Christ is being recognized, Christ is being preached. Part of what we know, part of what we learned already since I've been with you as your interim pastor, is that Jesus calls us to love one another. Whatever the answer is in how we put limits on destructive behavior, it's done out of love for Jesus, love for one another. So stay tuned. We'll see how that works out in our own lives and the life of our church. But to have a joy perspective, Paul is celebrating. And then also, what I see here in this text is Paul doesn't get set off course. Some people are preaching Christ out of false motives. He's got challenges in being arrested, challenges in the fact that he's going to face trial, challenges in the fact that these trials, he's gone to court for trial, could end, you know, in his own loss of life, death. And so what does he do? And somehow he's staying the course. Verse 25 is capturing this kind of staying the course no matter what. He says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So there is a convincing that happens for Paul to be able to stay on track, to stay with the fact that the gospel is being shared. He's doing his part, even though he's in prison, and he's writing letters now, and he's obviously sharing the gospel with anybody he comes in contact with. But it's out of this deep desire that he has and this focus that he's able to write verse 21, where he says, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I think in this isn't, Paul's not saying that he wants to die, but he's recognizing that whether he lives or dies, he's going to stay focused on and understanding that God's got it. Whether he lives, which he later says he's going to, he's convinced he's going to, in that, God's going to show him the way. And if he dies, even in that, there's gain, because it is about the fact that this is in the hands of God. And what he knows about God through Jesus is that God is all loving and caring. And so he's able to then to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. There's a focus that Paul has not on just the advancement of the gospel, but also knowing that this life that we currently live on this earth is not the end of the story. And so when stuff does happen in life that could potentially throw us off course, to try and stay focused on what is the goal? What is, you know, this thing that God's calling me to individually? What's my philosophy of ministry and how do I stay on task to that? And corporately as a congregation, how do we stay focused on that when we face problems? Problems will come, I'm pretty sure. In this life, we will have problems. But a joy perspective allows us not to be overcome by those problems, but to be able to see when those problems happen, how is it that God will be at work in this particular situation? And if we can stay clear on our goal, celebrate when we see those times of achievements, however small they may be, to celebrate them. And sometimes in the challenges of living life close as family, those celebrations might be that, you know, we were able to get up this morning, or we were able to actually have a conversation with our team that didn't end in yelling and screaming at each other. Just celebrate that stuff and those accomplishments. And then just to stay the course. We see, you know, Paul even giving vision to the results of being able to do that when he is really, you know, verse 20, he says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. And he goes into that, whether by life or death. But the results of this will be rejoicing, and rejoicing, and in that rejoicing is thankfulness. And gaining from this process the courage to be able to continue to engage in life and in relationships, but ultimately in all of this, God being glorified. And that's that ongoing process of celebration. God at work in our lives. Thanks for listening. We're going to stay in this study of Philippians. Next week, Jan is going to preach. She's going to step out of the book of Philippians and cover a little bit of John that she had planned to preach, but we weren't able to have that sermon. So she's going to talk a little bit about virtual foot washing, and looking forward to that. And it's going to tie into some of what we've already talked about in Philippians, but also where we're headed. And then in 2 weeks, I'll be back again and step into some more Philippians and really get into some of what we see in chapter 2, particularly as our theme verses are. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for today. Thanks for your word. God, I ask too that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, help us to clearly see who you are, even in these days when we're distanced from one another, whether it's distant from extended family and from our friends, some of us distanced from our jobs. God, I just ask you continue to show yourself to us. May your spirit be leading us in the things that we are encountering each day. God, help us to approach problems that come up with this joy perspective. Help us not to get caught up in the frustration, but help us to stay focused on the goal, what you're calling us to, who you are, who you've created us to be. God, help us to celebrate those times of accomplishment where we can see you at work in our lives and to be rejoicing in that. And God, help us to stay on course. Even when life throws us things that we weren't ready for, we weren't looking for, but now here we find ourselves in this situation. Even in that, God, help us to really see what you're calling us to as individuals and as churches as well. God, thanks for your love for us. Thank you for just this opportunity to be together this morning as a church. Continue to help us to find these creative ways of being connected in the midst of this pandemic and the need to be socially distant from one another. In your name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Bill. We didn't really have a response song, but this little song's been going through my head, so I'm going to sing it. It's a kid's song, and it's talking about the letters in joy. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others and you, in the life of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others we meet face to face. Y is for you in whatever you do. Put yourself third and spell joy. We're going to go to our prayer time. And as I share these concerns, they are being lifted up as prayers. So please include them when we come together for prayer. We want to remember Paul David. We ask that you would give them the stamina they need every day. We think of nursing homes, long care facilities. God, encourage those lonely residents and strengthen staff members who help them. Prevent further spread of infection and comfort families who can no longer visit their loved ones. Lord, we pray for our educators and teachers that are adapting to curriculum online. We pray for our students who are forced to exercise their work from a distance. We ask that you would make our homes a place of curiosity, of inquiry and study. Give special help to these children without regular access to the internet or digital tools. Lord, we pray for all of us who are anxious about the future, how we can pay for housing, food, essential medicines. I ask that you would help us connect with sources through our church, through our government, through our community that can be able to provide for us and for others that are in need. And we pray for women and children in abusive situations. Lord, that you would restrain those who can commit harm. You would provide protection and rescue for victims and comfort them in their vulnerability. Lord, we acknowledge that you spoke the world into being and you continue to sustain it with your word. We trust in your wisdom, your power, and your goodness. Help us during this time for new opportunities, for new learnings that we can gain through this time of isolation. Help us to look for new ways to be empowered, to share your love, to proclaim your goodness and your grace and your care, and to serve as you have served. Lord, give us courage to speak of our hope in Jesus, who we know, who suffered for us, rose from the dead, and is coming again. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. We'll have a closing benediction song from the quartet.
Real quick before we get to that, I know there's a lot of people who have been having birthdays, and because we aren't able to gather together, we haven't really been able to sing to each other. So let's just take a moment and I'll sing it. Feel free to sing along with me and just fill in the name of anyone you know that's had a birthday, and let's just sing to them together.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear everyone. Happy birthday to you.
And now for our sending song, we'll sing from the Blue Hymnal, number 430, God Be With You.
One, two.
God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide upon you. May the shepherd's care enfold you. God be with you till we meet again.
For this morning, we are going to do the breakout groups again this Sunday. So if you want to join one of those groups, please stay on. And then you will be put in a group. Again, this is done by Zoom randomly. Don't blame Brandon or me or anyone else if you don't like the people in your group. Last week, we had leaders for each group. Now, this week, we're not assigning anyone the leadership in the groups, but somebody, please make sure that everybody has an opportunity to share during that time, and also keep track of the time. We're 30 minutes in these groups, so just somebody step in and make sure, you know, things are flowing right along, and I'm sure that each one of us can do that, certainly. The other thing I just want to mention before I give us the closing prayer, you have received information regarding a survey. I thank you. Many have filled that out already. We have over 30 surveys returned. I continue to encourage you to do that. Some of you maybe got some difficulty in being able to fill out a second survey in your family. You filled out one and you went back to try and fill out another. We're working on that. We're hoping to get that cleared up so that, but we want to hear from each person individually. So if you're encountering that, let us know, but also know that we're working on trying to get that sorted out and taken care of. So thank you for doing the surveys. Appreciate that. For the closing prayer, I want to read the prayer from Philippians chapter 1, one you've heard before, and I'll continue to highlight this. And starting at verse 1, Paul says, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen." All right, I'm going to turn this over to Brandon. He's going to let us all wave at each other and then stay on if you want to be part of a small